We begin the current daf, Masechta Bava Basi, daf Kuf Nun Aleph. We begin 5 lines daf at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the topic of this discussion of these daf regarding the Matnas Shchimra, when someone's gifting something to someone else, and he says a specific term which the Gemara is describing, that of when someone says, Nichsay Lepleini, my assets, my possessions go to that person, what's included in Nichsay? The Gemara already has a long list of things that are proved from different sources that these items are called Nichsay. The Gemara continues on that topic, Beheime Ikre Nichsay. So two animals are called my possessions, and thus included in the gift of giving nichsai, my possessions, to that person. How do we know this? Now, like in the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, the fourth parak, the Mishnah there says, Hamakdish nechasav, if someone gives his nechasim, his possessions, to Hekdish, now, v'hoysa behen behema ru'i l'gab mizbech, now in his possessions, which nechasim, you see including that he had an animal which was for the mizbeach. So, Zacharim Oilis, if it's a male, it's brought as a carbon oilo, which is totally sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Nekevis, if it's a female animal, Yimachu L'tzarchi Zivchi Shlamim, then it's sold for the purposes of a carbon Shlamim, which then the revenue from that sale, that money is then included with the other assets, which are then brought to the Bedek HaBayis. But you see one thing, that the behemoths are part of Nechasim. So, to Oifis Sekri Nechzeh, so to birds are called my are called possessions. How do we know? There's a non, like we learned also within Masechta Shkalim. In the next Mishnah, it says, Hamakdish Nechasim, if someone is Makdish his Nechasim, Vahoyi behen devar meruin l'gam Mizbeach, and had items that were fit for the Mizbeach, for example, Yenis, wine, which is for the Nesachim, Shmanim, oil, which is used by the Menachas, Vahoyfis, and birds, and it says over the Halacha what to do, but again, you see that Oifis are called Nechse. Tefillin Nikri Nechse. Tefillin are called possessions. That's not like within the Mishnah Masechta Erechim. That says Hamakdish Nechasav, if someone's Makdish all his possessions, so Ma'alin Lay Tefillin. What they do is that they have to evaluate the items, values that he has to be Makdish. So in other words, even Tefillin are going to be Hektish, and they evaluate how much the value is, because he's going to hold on to his Tefillin, he needs to become the Mitzvah, but he has to redeem its value. So one thing you see is that from the fact that Hektish takes effect on the Tefillin, obviously it's called Nechse, because he was Makdish, his Nechasav, which includes his Tefillin. Now, Yibaylu, however, they had the following question. Sefer Torah, what would Halacha be with a Sefer Torah? Now, the Rashbam explains the question, which obviously would be that, that as the Bach points out, that he wouldn't have the girsa of how our Gemara explains it. He explains it, do we say that Sefer Torah is called Nichse just like Tefillin, which they seem to be the same idea of Stam, of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs, which always share the same category, or do we say that no? Tefillin, the reason why it's considered nichse is because it's a malbush, it's an adornment, it's something that you wear. In contrast to a sefer Torah, which is a mitzvah, and it's not someone's nichse, so even though he could sell it, it's not called nichse. Or actually, our Gemara explains the question as follows: Kivin delay mizdabin, since it's not something that he can sell because the asil is vuni, and Allah sell a sefer Torah salam nichse, which is not his possessions because it's not something he has the rights to sell. Or maybe that no, kivin the mizdabin, since it is able to be sold in lilmay Torah v'lisa isha, at least in those two cases, if it's for the purposes of learning Torah or to marry a woman. So nichsehu, it does have the evaluation of nichseh. Says Gemara, take a look, it's not clear what the halacha would be regarding a sefer Torah, if that would be included in nichsai l'plani. Now the Gemara brings siman on a monic to recall the following teachings, which are related to the topic that we brought and the top of the previous daf in Amud Beis regarding those who give gifts from their nechasim. Simon and the manik is Zutra, Imid Amram, the mother of Amram, Mitarta Achvasa, from two sisters, Rav Tuvi, Rav Dimi, Rav Yasef. So the first one is regarding one of those five that we had said that, again, are from those that have to give away everything, which is the halach of Mavrachas, which she wants to get married to someone, but it's a remarriage. She doesn't want to give all her assets, her possessions, to the new husband, so she writes it off to someone else. So the Gemara brings that Imi de Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, the mother of Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Kazvinu l'nichsel Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. She wrote away all her possessions to her son, because the boy lansuvi le Rav Zid, because she wanted to get married to Rav Zvid, and she actually explicitly told her son this idea, as it will be obvious later on in the Gemara, that she revealed her intention is because I'm going to get remarried. So I don't want my new husband to get all my money, all our possessions, so I'm going to give it to you. But that's, again, that's the just lahavrich mibaylitz. It's that she just doesn't want her new husband to get it, but really she wants to hold on to it in case if and when she gets divorced or widowed. So insava vigirsha. What happened was she got married to him and he divorced her. So she goes back to her son and says, okay, give me back my possessions. to ask the Kamedra of Bibi Rabbi, it came in from the Rabbi Rabbi. Omar, he says, what? Mishum Insuve. The whole premise of the gift was if you get married, Voinsuva, and you got married. And therefore you lose, and your son gets all your possessions. Because your revelation of your intention not going to help. The only thing that helped was, according to Rabbi Abaye, was, had you not gotten married to Rav Zvid, then the gift would not have been valid. Because you told your son, I'm only giving it to you because I want to get married to my new husband, to Rav Zvid. But now that, if you would not have gotten married, of course you would have taken it back. But now that you got married, so that was the premise. You got married, so the gift took effect, and therefore your son gets it. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Rav Huna Bar Yeshua said to Rabbi Rabbaya, Mishum de Asu Mimuloi, because you come from Muloi, which is that his father Abaya was from the family tree of the house of Eli. Which the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Fitchasim and Aleph that they would die young, which Abaya and Rava were from that family, and that was actually the name of their place, as it's brought in Bereishis Rabba, also which alludes to the fact that they would be truncated, which they didn't live a long life. So because you come from Muloi Amritu Milu Muyasa, so you say words that are also truncated, in other words, that are blemished and that have no substance. What do you mean? How can you say that? Because, explains Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Afil Lamanda Amam Avrachas Kone, even according to the pin that says, when a woman is giving it all away just as a way to avoid her new husband getting it, the recipient of the gift actually could keep it. In other words, this is the Rabbanah who disagreed, Rav Shimon Gamliel brought him Masechet Ksubos in the Ayin Testament Aleph, that they say the recipient of the gift could laugh at the giver and could hold the gift for themselves and they could take everything. Says Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Hanamili, when was that said? When did Rabban say that the recipient could laugh at the giver and even though they want to come back and get it, they have already acquired it? That's only Hecha, that's where when the one who gave it, even if they gave everything, but they gave it unspecified, the Loigalia Daita, that they did not reveal their intention, that it's because they want to get married and they don't want their new husband to get it, and their whole intention is Lahavriach, that's when they didn't say that. So even though she gave everything away, which the Rav Shimon Gamliel says, okay, if you give everything away, it's obvious. They all know it's not obvious. You didn't say, the recipient can receive it. But that's only when they didn't say explicitly. But here she explicitly told her son, I'm giving it to you because I want to be mavrach. I said I want to chase it away from my new husband. And with that intention, that if I'm going to get divorced, I want to get the money back. She got married and she got divorced. Here even the Rabbanah would agree that the recipient, the son, does not acquire it. Rather, he would have to give her back the assets, as the Gemara there says over there, that they hold that until she writes, Mahayom Kusha Eretz, I'm going to give it to you today, and from whenever I want it back, so when she reveals her intention, like in this case, it's almost like as if she wrote that in the document, and therefore, says Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Rabbi was incorrect, and most definitely the woman will get it back over here because she said explicitly, I'm only giving it to him until this marriage lasts. After that, I want it back, and therefore, since she got divorced, she gets it back. Continuing with the next case, Imi Durami Bar Chama, the mother of Rami Bar Chama, Ba'urta in the evening, Kasvesinu Lenichsa L'Rami Bar Chama. In the evening, she wrote away all her possessions to Rami Bar Chama, meaning her son. Bitzaf in the morning, Kasvesinu L'Rav Ukva Bar Chama. In the morning, she wrote off to her other son, Rav Ukva, the son of Chama. Rami Bar Chama came in front of Rav Sheshes for Psak Halacha. Ukmi B'nichse, he gave him the rights to the possession. As Rav Ukva Bar Chama came in Rav Nachman, Rav Ukva, the other son, came in front of Rav Nachman, Ukmi B'nichse, he gave him the rights to the possession. Now, the conclusion of the Gemara is going to be, as we'll see, is that the last one, Rav Ukva, that he will have acquired it. And the reason for that is, as we'll see, because since the mother changed her mind, she obviously retracted, in the evening wrote it to one son, the next morning wrote it to a different son, the last one that she changed her mind to, which she's allowed to, that the last one gets it. But Rashbam points out, there's actually what would seem to be a parallel but contradictory story that takes place in Masechet Ksubos Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, where it's brought that the mother of Rami Bar Chama in the morning wrote her possessions to Rami Bar Chama. In the evening she wrote it to Rav Ukva. Rav Muhammad came to Rav Sheshes and he gave him the rights of possession. Rav Ukva Bar Chama came to Rav Nachman and he gave him the rights of possession. And the conclusion of the Gemara there is Shuda Dedaini, which is that the judge could choose which one is given to and that we don't care who came first. The reason for that is because it's written on the same day. Now says Rashbam, the reason for the discrepancy in these incidents is because that story was when she was a bari, a healthy person, a regular person, and there it would be Shudda D'Daina. Over here, it's talking about where she was a Shchimra, she was a dying person. By Shchimra also, it doesn't make a difference if it was one day or 2 days. The primary premise is the last one who was given to could be Kaina, because she retracted for the first one. That's why there's a discrepancy in Halacha, because there it's by a Bari, and here's when she was a Shchimra. But either way, so either one was went to a different Rav and got a different Psak Halacha that each one could take it. So Asra Rav Shesha to come in, Rav Nachman, Rav Shesha came in front of Rav Nachman, the other Rav, to discuss why he gave it to the other one. Amalei said to him, "My time ukmi mar la Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Why did you give it to Rav Ukva Bar Chama that he could take possession? I gave it to the Raman Bar Chama. Imishum the Hajaba, if it's because, what, you're going to say that my the one I said could get it to Rami, that, what I mean, but the mother retracted, and in the morning, the next morning she gave it to who you said should get it, to Rav Ukva. But on that says, Rav Sheshes, but Voshchiva, but she ended up dying. In other words, what he was telling him was, if the mother would not have died, so that the Mishnah teaches us, Kofman, Vavim Abeis, that if the one who gave the gift did not leave over any land for themselves, so if they survive, so then the gift is not a valid gift. So then, says Rav Sheshes, I could understand, just like when she retracted from the first one and gave it to the second one, so then she would be able to back up from the second one also if she would want to. Because if she survives, it goes back to her, so she could decide where it goes. But now Rav Shesha says that she died, so therefore the first gift that she gave to the one that I said, it should go to Rav Bachama, should have acquired it, because she gave it in what's called Matna Shchimra, the gift of the dying person. That halacha is that just their words are kiksuv nikum asurundam. It's like as if it was written and given over, that takes effect when she dies. And we do not say, as Rashbam points out, that's what Rav Sheshet holds, that daitiki mevatelis daitiki, that a later giving of the gift will nullify and void a previous one. So therefore, if you don't say daitiki mevatelis daitiki, and she ended up dying, so the first gift she gave should take effect. How can you say the other son, even though she changed her mind, should help? It was already given to the previous son. So on that he responded back to Rav Sheshes, Hachi Amar Shmuel, says Rav Nachman, this is what Shmuel says. Kol she'ilu amat chayzer, if it was a situation that if had she survived, she would have been able to back out from the gift, which is the case over here where she gave it all away to her first son, and had she survived, she would have taken away from him. Chayzer b'mat nasay, she could also then back out from the gift that she gives him. In other words, this woman, since had she survived, she would have been able to back out, so therefore her backing out from the first one, even if she ends up dying, will take effect, and the second one that she gave it to will acquire it, because she could have backed out had she survived. See, even if she ends up dying, but if she verbally retracts from the first one and gives it to the second one, you see that she still has rights. How do you see she still has rights? Had she survived, she would have gotten it. See, even if she ends up dying, but if she verbally retracts and gives it to the second one gets it, and that's why I gave it to Rav Ukva, and not to the one you gave it to Rami. And that aspect, Rav Sheshes is, but Emer da'amah Shmuel, maybe say, when did Shmuel say this halacha, that she could back out? Meaning to say, even if she ends up dying, but she could back out, as we see she has rights, if she would survive, she'd be able to back out. Maybe that's only la'atzmai. Maybe where the sick person backs out and says, no, I want to keep it for myself. And she's not giving it to anyone else. Maybe there we would say what she backs out is considered backing out, even if subsequently she ends up dying. But in this situation, as Rav Sheshes is, where she backed out from the first son, and then she gave it la'achar mi amar, if she gave it to someone else, did Shmuel ever say that would also take effect? Maybe there, that would not be a complete chazara, because not really backing out, just giving it to someone else. Maybe that wouldn't be learned from the concept of him amat chayzer to say that she could give it to someone else, and therefore the first one was the valid matna shchimra, if she ends up dying, and therefore the first son should get it, not to the one you said should get it, to Rav Ukva. So on that, Amalei, Rav Nachman responded to Rav Sheshes. He said, no, beferish Amar Shmuel, explicitly Shmuel said, bein la'atzmai, bein la'achar, this concept that we see, she still has rights in it, because as we see, since she gave everything away, had she survived, she would have gotten it back. So therefore, her retraction verbally, even if she ends up dying, is she could take it away from the first one, not only for herself, but even to give it to someone else, and if Rav Ukva gets it, not Rami Bar Chama. Next instance, the Gemara brings, Ime de Rav Amram Chasid, the mother of Rav Amram the pious, Havala Meluga Dishtari. She had either what would be a bundle of documents or a basket full of documents. Now, Kikashach v'Amr, when she was passing away, she said, Lahav la'amram bri, I wanted to go to my son Amram, where either would be talking about, as Mefarshim discussed, first option Rashbam says regarding that he acquired it from her, or that it was without a kinyan, which would be the easiest interpretation, where, for example, that she had given everything to him. So although it was without a kinyan, but as we'll see, that's matna shchimra. You don't have to have an actual kinyan. And she gave it all away to her son Amram. That's everything she had, she gave was those documents. Now, asa achu l'kamei de Rav Nachman. Now, the brothers of Amram came in front of Rav Nachman. Amulei, they said to him, Volei Moshach, but our brother of Amram never did Meshicha, never drew those bundles of documents to himself when our mother was still alive. So therefore, he never did a kinyan. And if he never did a kinyan, now you can't be kohen la'achar misa, so therefore he never got it, and therefore we should all share it. So Amalahu, so Rav Nachman said to them, no, divrei shchimra, the words of a dying person, kiksub and nukum esurim dami, that's the unique halacha that we're always discussing, are like they were written and given over, it's like the deal was already done, so even though they didn't do Meshicha, just her words already gave it to him and it's already his. Similar, the Gemara says that Achsid Rav Tuvi by Rav Masna, the sister of Rav Tuvi, the son of Rav Masna, kasvesinu lenichsel Rav Tuvi by Rav Masna b'tzafra. So she wrote over all her possessions to Rav Tuvi by Rav Masna in the morning. Now, Lafanya in the evening, Asar Rav Achtavai by Rav Masna. So then the other brother, she had first given it to one brother, now the other brother came in the evening and Bachalei cried to his sister. Amaloi said to her, Hashta Amri, now everybody's going to say that Mar, the master, meaning my brother that you gave him as a gift, all your possessions, must be, why did his sister give to this brother? Because Tuvim Rabbanan, he's a true Talmudic scholar. Umar and the other master, meaning myself, love Tuvim Rabbanan, must not be such a Talmudic scholar because the sister obviously knows that she's in the inside. She knows she's a sibling. So she felt bad. So Kasvinu Nahalei, so she, to the contrary, she went and wrote it all to him. So Asli Kamed Rav Nachman came in front of Rav Nachman. Omalei said to him, Hachar Meshmul, this is what Shmuel said, which we had just quoted before, Kol She'ilu Amad Chayzer, if it would be that if she would survive, she'd be able to back out, which was the case, because she wrote it all the way to first one brother and then the other one. So Chayzer Bebat Nasai, so therefore she could back out of the gift, and therefore, since she backed out verbally, even though if she subsequently died, went, gave it to one and then changed to the other one, the other brother, the second brother, will acquire it. Another incident, which we had said in the mnemonic of the two sisters, Mitarta Achvasa, Achsid Rav Dimi Bar Yosef. Now, a different story with a sister. The sister of Dimi Bar Yosef, Havalei Piskasa de Pardisa. She had a tract of land of an orchard. Now, Kol Hemes to Havas Cholsho, whenever she would become ill, Hava Makne Lo Nahalei, she would then go ahead and be Makne to her brother, because she doesn't want to die and not leave it over for anyone else. She wanted to make sure it goes to her brother. Now, as it continued to Medbeis, the problem was, V'chi Kaima, Havas Hadrabe, whenever she would survive, she would back out. As we learned in our Mishnah, if someone gives away everything that they have and they don't leave over a piece of land for themselves, so it's not a valid gift and it goes back to the person. And here, this was all that she had. Zimnecha d'chosha, again, another time she was not feeling well. Shalchalitzo, she sent to her brother, Ta'akani, come and acquire my piece of land from me. Shalach, he sent back, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. Loibina, I don't need this. I can't every time acquire it and then you survive and then I have to give it back to you. So Shalchalei, she sent him, no, talk, come. Kalnei kol heicha debayis, and I'll let you acquire it however you want to. In other words, come to me now and acquire it in a full-fledged kinyan, however you want to be, that yes, we'll make sure that I can't back out anymore, even if I do survive. So Azli went. Shaira, he left over for herself some of the land, so that it's not everything given to him. V'konamina, and then he acquired from her the rest, because he did not want to receive the entire field from her. He specifically wanted her to retain something, so that should be considered a matana b'miktas, a partial gift. And moreover, he went and did a kinyan, where the Gemara tells us later on that in such a situation, if there was a kinyan and it was only partial, that then the giver cannot back out, unless, which as actually we'll see this in the incident, if it was explicitly done with the purposes of only because I'm giving it away because I'm dying, where then the dying person reveals explicitly that they're only giving it because they're dying, then if they survive, then they could back out. But if it wasn't explicitly said, then even if it's a dying person, if you're not giving everything away, so it's not obvious it's because of death, and there's a kinyan, then the one who receives it will get it even if the one survives. So, ki kaima hajraba. But when she survived even this illness again, she wanted to back out. So, asol l'kamei de Rav Nachman, she came in front of Rav Nachman. So, sholach leito. So, he sent for her brother, come to court. Lost, he didn't come. Amar, he said, my Isa, why should I come? Hashari of Ekonomina, it's clearly mine. She left over some of it for herself, and I did a kinyan on it, of course I get to keep it. Shalach Lehi, he sent him, Eloi Asas, if you don't come, Mechinelach Besilva Duloy Mavadam, I'm going to prick you with a thorn that doesn't draw blood. Meaning, nidui. I'm going to excommunicate you. It's going to be something that's really going to hurt, but you can't see the blood coming out. So when he finally came, he said to the witnesses, Heicha hava maisa, what exactly happened? Tell me exactly what happened. So Amalei, the witnesses said to him, Amra hachi. This is what the sister said when she was sending for her brother. Vai de komesa hach itza, woe to the woman who's dying, and she's not going to see her brother as she's passing away, because he doesn't want to come. Oh, Amalei said to them, Imkein, if that's the case, hava mitzava machmas misa. It was clearly that she was commanding to give away the field only because she was dying. As you see from her words, she was like, oh, I'm going to die, I'm not going to see my brother. And if someone's commanding to give away what they have because of their death, that's because of the imminency of that, then they could back out whether if it's a partial gift or a gift without leaving anything for herself. And even if the recipient had done a kinyan, if the sick person survives from their illness, they could back out from the whole thing because it's obvious that the kinyan was only because they're going to die. Since, in this case, where she was lamenting her death at the time that she was commanding, and that's what the Gemara actually is going to pass later on, where it was clearly because of Matzava Machmas Misa, then even if it was only a Matana B'Miktas and there was a kinyan, the one could back out, and that was the case over here. So, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings Itmar, was said as follows. Matna Shchimra B'Miktas. A gift of a dying person who gives a partial gift of their possessions. Now, we're talking about in this teaching that there was no kinyan. And that's actually the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was regarding a gift that we said that a dying person gives where they leave over some land for themselves. Then, even if they survive, it's going to be a valid gift and they can't back out. Now, the reason for that is, as we said, because they left over some for themselves. So that was obviously their intention, where they're thinking they might survive, but so they need to have something for themselves, obviously means to say they're giving the gift in all situations. Therefore, that's the case that we're discussing over here, where they left over some for themselves. So that says the Gemara, Amru Rabban the Kamei de Rabba. So Rabbanan said in front of the Rabba, Mishmei de Mazut to Breed of Nachman, the name of Mazut to the son of Rav Nachman, the Amma Mishmei de Rav Nachman, that he said in the name of Rav Nachman, that such a gift, Harehi Kamatnas Bari, on some level it's considered like the gift of a regular healthy person, and also on some level, Harehi Kamatnas Shchimra, it's also considered like the gift of a dying person. What does that mean? So it explains the Gemara. Harehi Kamatnas Bari, it's like the gift of a regular person. Shim Amad Ein Chayzim. Someone gives a gift to someone else, if he survives, well, he's not a dying person, but if he survives, he can't back out. So that's the same situation over here, where since it was only a partial gift, as we learned this halacha in our Mishnah, so even if the dying person survives, they can't back out. But Varehi Kamatna Shchimra, this is the way it was said over the name of Nachman, but on some level it does have the halacha of the gift of a dying person, because this is a dying person, they just only gave part of their possessions away. Now, meaning it's like the gift of a dying person who had not left over anything for themselves. What does that mean? Deloy Boye Kinyan, that however, although here they did leave over something themselves, but whatever they did give away, if the person dies, the recipient will acquire it even if there was no kinyan done. Now, however, if they survive, moreover, as we said, that it's like a bari, but that they can't back out. Amalu Rava, so Rava, when he heard this teaching which was said to him in the name of Nachman, he said to them, Lava minulchu, didn't I tell you, leititlu buki sriki b'Rav Nachman, that you should not hang empty pictures of Rav Nachman, basically saying that don't say things that he would never have said. Rather, hachayam Rav Nachman, this is what Rav Nachman said. Harehi kamatnas bari, it's totally like a gift of a bari. When there's a dying person, but he doesn't write everything away. And he doesn't say explicitly it's because he's dying. He just gives away parts of his possessions. It's totally like when a regular person gives a gift. And ubayi kinyan. And also, therefore, since it's like a regular person, an actual kinyan has to be done. Now then, if the recipient had done the kinyan, then if the person survives, since he only gave away part of it, then they can't back out. Because here you have two elements. You have a kinyan that was done, and also part of it was left for the shchivmera. And for sure, then if the person dies, for sure the recipient is going to acquire. But if there was no kinyan done, that's what Rabbi is correcting them, then even if the shchivmera would die, the recipient would not have acquired it, because it wasn't everything given away. Only if you give everything away, then there's that halacha. But you only give part of it away, then you have to have a kinyan. And for sure, if the shchimra would survive, they'd be able to back out, as the Gemara tells us later on. So on that says Rava, although now he explained Rav Nachman's halacha, that he taught that it's not partly like Shchimra, part like a bari, but rather totally like a bari. If you're only giving a matna Shchimra b'miktzas, but then, however, Eisvei Rav al Rav Nachman. But however, now that Rav Nachman corrected them in the teaching, Rav himself asks on this teaching of Rav Nachman from our Mishnah. A Mishnah taught Shayer Karku Kol Shehu, if someone, which is, this is the case of Matna Shchimra b'miktzas that we're discussing, if someone left over some of the land that they were giving away for them, they left over some of it for themselves, Matznasa Kemis, and then if they survive that illness, the gift, however, is done. They can't back out. Says Rava, my love, the economy, isn't it talking about even that no kinyan was done? And yet still we see that even though no kinyan was done, that it's going to be considered as matnash chimra b'miktzas, that it will take effect, which is not like the way he had corrected them in the version of Rav Nachman that has to be with the kinyan. That says the Gemara, Allah, you know, the economy is talking about that there was a kinyan. So since there was a kinyan, so that's what we say, that then if the person survives, then since they had additionally left over something for themselves, then it's not like matna shchimra, and the recipient could keep it. That the Gemara asks, if that's the case, im seifa. But look later on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah that continues, it says, but loy shayer karku kol shehu, if the giver, the shchimra, didn't leave over any land for themselves, then im matnasa kiyemes, then the gift is not valid if he survives the illness. But of course, if he's going to die, then if he gave everything away, then the recipient's going to acquire it. But if he gave it all away, and then he survives, then he could back out. And that the question is, but if, as you're answering for the Reisha, v'id ekonomine, but if it's talking about, as we had to say for Rav Nachman, that a kinyan was done on what the dying person is giving away, so amai ematznasa keyemes, and then why here in the Seifa are we saying that if he gave it all away, then if he survives, then he can't back out? The question is, why? Why isn't it a matana? What do you mean? Even though you gave everything away, but there was an actual kinyan that was done in it, and therefore that should be a done deal. So that Amalei, they responded to him and says, no, hachem Shmuel, this is what Shmuel says. Shchimra shekasav konachasav lachem. If a dying person writes away all his properties to others, afa pi shekonam yadai. Even though, yes, there was a kinyan done in it, but amat chayzer. If the person survives, it does go back. Why? Because if you do it, it's known, it's obvious to us. Obviously, he only commanded to give it all away because he's going to die. And the way we know that is because since he didn't keep anything for himself, even if he didn't explicitly say, I'm giving away because I'm dying, we could know, obviously, it's because he's going to die. Because if someone thought that there's the possibility they're going to survive, they would have kept something for themselves. And therefore, since it was obviously because of Machmas Misa, even if there was a kinyan, then if they're going to survive, it's going to go back. Therefore, it's not a refutation of Rav Nachman. But the Gemara continues asking on Rav Nachman. Eisvei Rav Mishar Shel Rava on Rav Nachman's halacha from a Mishnah Kofen and Vavim Abeis. The Mishnah says later on, Maisa Be'imet Shel B'nei Reichel, there was an incident with the mother of the sons of Reichel, meaning of the husband, the mother of those sons, where Reichel was the name of the person. So the mother was Shoyse Chayla, she was ill. So she was concerned, she's passing on. She says, I want my brooch, her jewelry, that piece, to go to my daughter. And it's worth 12 mana. And she passed away. And they fulfilled her words. Where, although that's only a partial gift, she didn't give everything to this daughter. She gave only this one little gift. And it was without a kinyan. How do you know that? Because in the fact that the Mishnah says v'kaimu divereha, they fulfilled her words, sounds like that there was just words without an actual kinyan. And therefore, that's a refutation of Rav Nachman, who said that if you give me only a partial gift, then we don't say like a shchimera, that your words are like a ksuvim. You only give part of it, then you have to do actual kinyan. Here you see that it was a partial matana, and it was done without a kinyan. Says the Gemara, no, hasim b'mitzava machmas misa. There, it was clearly that she was saying because she's passing on. She mentioned that she's afraid that she's dying, and therefore she was giving out from her stuff. Whereas we said, by mitzava machmas misa, that you don't need a kinyan where the person dies, whether if they leave over something for themselves or not, and actually the Gemara is going to pass it like this later on at the end of the daf. So since she clearly said, I'm doing it because I'm passing on, there, yes, it's going to work just like matna shchimra, where that's really the same idea. The idea is when someone's passing on, they said, okay, the words will be like a kinyan. When someone gives everything, so it's obvious you're doing machmas misa. When you're doing only partly, it's not obvious, but if you say explicitly, then it's going to work even without a kinyan. But in general, Rav Nachman's not refuted if it's not explicitly said, and there was only a partial matan, then it would require a kinyan like a bari. But the Gemara continues asking, Eisvei Ravina L'Rava. Ravina asked to Rava on Rav Nachman's halacha from Mishum Sechtes Gittin. Mishnah says, "Ha'imer tenu get zeh lishti." If someone says, "Give this get to my wife," or "V'shtash shichu zeh la'avdi," or "This document of emancipation of my slave," umeis, and he passes away before they got a chance to give it to them, le'itnu la'chamisa, you can't give it after he dies. A get has to be executed before the person died. But let's say he says tenu manu la'pleinu umeis. Let's say give this 100 dinar to that person, and then he dies. Yitnu la'chamisa, you do give it after he passed away. Now proves the Gemara what it wants to prove. And how do I know that this Mishnah is discussing where there was no kinyan done on this money, that, and yet we'll see, as we see from this Mishnah, that it was fulfilled what he had said. The dying man's words were fulfilled, where the Mishnah says, you do give the money, he said, after he dies. How do we know no kinyan was done? Because Jimmy the get, compared to the other case of that Mishnah over there. Ma get la bar kinyan, just like the case of get, is not something that a kinyan was done in it, because obviously the woman's not around. Or else you wouldn't say, here, give this to the woman. You just give it to the woman yourself. And moreover, you can't do a kinyan for the woman when she's not there, because that's a chayv, and you cannot do a chayv la'adim shalei b'fanam. So in that situation, there was no kinyan for the get when she was still alive, when the husband was still alive. So afhai namad l'ekonomei. So the parallel case would obviously also be talking about when he said, give this money to that person, no kinyan was done, and yet still we see, so it's a matna shchimra b'miktsas. And yet, even though no kinyan was done, we see that we fulfill the dying man's words, which is not like Rav Nachman, who said that if it's a matnas shchim rabbi miktas, it has to have a kinyan. This says the Gemara, no hasam nami b'metzava machmas misa. There it's also Toma where he says explicitly, I'm giving this away to that person because I'm dying. There we said that's the same as matnas shchimra, which is kiksub m'sur medume, that will work, even according to Rav Nachman, without a kinyan. Another approach for the last two questions, Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshuam, he says, truthfully, I could tell you, mitzava machmas misa, even if someone says explicitly that they're giving this away, a partial gift because they're dying, but alma baye kinyan. Maybe I could tell you in general, the chacham didn't institute their halacha of keksub mesur medami if you're not giving everything away. It's only if you give everything away. If you're giving some of it away, even if you're saying because you're dying, maybe it would require a kinyan. Yet, so how do we resolve the last two questions we asked in the Gemara? The chitanya hanem asniyasa, when we taught these tanoic sources, b'mechalik kol nechasav. So that was Toma when he gave everything. Those cases were Toma where they gave everything that they had away. With that, again, as we said, if you're giving, even amongst many people, but if you're giving everything away, so then that's considered like a matna shchimra, that's why you don't need a kinyan. So that's not a difficulty, because either one or the other, either if you give everything away, or as we had assumed beforehand, where if it's going to be partial, but you give it all away, it says the Gemara's Teretz of Rehun B'Yeshua, even if you're going to say that Mitzav Mach Misa would require a kinyan, but everyone agrees by a full-fledged matnas shchimra, we give everything away, that does not require a kinyan. Concludes the Gemara, B'hilchas HaLoch is as follows. Matnas shchimra b'miktas, a partial gift of a dying person, b'ye kinyan. It does require a kinyan, as we said from Rav Nachman, it does require, as it was not refuted, it requires a kinyan. V'avagav demes, and even if he passes away, where if he passes away, you would think, okay, so this is the dying person's wishes. No, it requires a kinyan. Mitzava machmes misa loy boikin. However, as we had illustrated that point before, if he explicitly says, like the first teretz the Gemara had given on those questions, that I'm giving it away because I'm passing away, that he does not need a kinyan. But who demes? But it's only going to be if he ends up dying. Where if he doesn't end up dying, then it's going to work through the medium of a matna shchimra. But if the person survives, he could back out. Meaning, if they're saying, I'm giving it because I'm dying. So if he ends up dying, so you don't need a kinyan. Just like you say by shchimra, which is on everything, which we assume it's because of death. Here, where you say it's because of death, even if it's not everything, you do not need a kinyan. But if that's only if the person ends up dying, then the recipient gets it. But if he survives, then he can back out. And even if a kinyan was done on that matana, you think, okay, so the guy already did a kinyan, it's already that person's. No, it was a stipulation. Even if you just revealed that I'm giving away because I'm passing away, if the person doesn't pass away, that was the whole premise. And then even if a kinyan was done, then it goes back to the person that had given the gift.